nobody in there can read. So even like first grade kindergarten materials were too advanced. So it's like, okay, here's a picture of your president. Let's color, and here's a picture of a flag. Let's color these. Uh-huh. Or let's play that, not bingo, but that matching game where, but on this it has community things like the post office. Find two that have the post office. You flip over the card. You know, can you find another matching one that, you know, that has something?
It seems to me that if you had five children, you almost felt like God had prepared you for this challenge. And as much as you, were you already through parenting? I mean, were all your kids grown when you got back into this? Or were,
oh, this was in the midst.
Oh, in the midst of it. Okay.
In the midst of it, yes. Uh-huh. Very much so.
Because, but it was during the school day, so you didn't miss your own children. You were able to balance your career and the kids.
Right, right. Yeah, so at that point when I was at the high school teaching that, two of my children were in that special school.
It was a special school and not just a special class?
No, an alternative school, and it was for kids, like I said, that mostly learning disabilities, but some behavioral, some with traumatic brain. That's no, an alternative, which makes them very unpredictable, with that. Like I was told sometimes, don't turn your back on certain students, you never know what they might do. And especially that class with like the preschooler one, the ones that were at that level intellectually, then they're like, don't ever turn your back on them because just, you know, they might hit you with a toy or something just like a two-year-old might do.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, that was very interesting. The fact that they just throw you in there and, for that. And sadly, what I saw in education is the people with tons of experience get to pick the cherry jobs. Uh-huh. And they don't take those challenging ones, but those kids need somebody with more experience.
Yeah.
And so fortunately, as a parent, I had that. But like the teacher, I was relieving so she could get a break, you know, because she had to stay with them. They didn't have anybody else. She had to work straight through like the first five periods with them. Then, you know, she was like right out of school and she didn't have much experience with them. And they said they'd had five different teachers in that classroom last year because they kept quitting.
Sure.
Because it's too challenging. And then you're getting no support.
Right.
Nobody's saying, what can I do for you? How can I help you?
Right.
For that. But anyway, back to the behavioral stuff. But finding something that motivates them is really the key. And as a parent, sometimes it's like, wow. You have to really step back and think about your child and what is it they really like or what is it they're asking for. Or I used to tell my husband, if you want the kids to clean up the toys when they were young, you know, find an incentive they want. Like, hey, go put your toys away and then we'll have cookies. Or go put your toys away and then we'll go rent a video, which we used to do in those days.
Where were you for me 25 years ago when I was trying to get my son who was diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder? And when I shared that with friends, they said, you mean he was disobedient? You mean he was defiant? Yeah, well, they gave it
a little bit more. It means that they will fight to the death. Oh. For whatever it is they've decided to take a stand on, and they will not back down.
Well, my wife told me that it was very important, and I think this is a great key for any relationship, right? Is she said, David, you have to maintain your relationship with your son. You cannot make everything like a big fight, you know, over like, you do that. You better get it done and have no wiggle room. And
You know what works really well is you explain the expectations. This is what I want you to do. You also then explain the consequences of if it's not done, this is what will happen. Like, you won't get to go out with your friends. You won't get to use your phone. I will shut down your internet, that kind of thing. You know, but that's your choice. You can choose to do this and keep those privileges, or you can choose not to do it, and then you just won't have those. So you try to put it in their ballpark. Like, students would always say, what's my grade? What's my grade in this class? You know, what grade are you giving me? And as a kid, I can remember thinking, well, it's just whatever the teacher wants to give you, and if she likes you. No idea how it worked. Yeah. So what I love with in the computer age is I would say, let's log into the computer and take a look at your grades. Well, let's see. You haven't turned any homework in 2 weeks, so the computer says you currently have a D. You know, not me. Let's disassociate from that.
Yes.
So don't make it personal. Take it away. You know, just this is what's going on and this is what's happening.
So you said you were actually able to teach a couple of your own children in this classroom. So you were personally vested.
They weren't in my class.
They were in the same school, though.
They were in a different school.
Oh, they were in a different school.
Yeah, they were. I was in the public school when I got my degree. I worked in the public arena. And they were in an alternative school because they needed more help than what the public school can give, which is a very interesting thing of how to get that. The public school will always tell you, we can't help them. We don't have the services. It's a lie. It's all lies. There's tons of services. There's so many special schools, schools that are just for kids with behavioral disorders, schools that are just for kids with learning disorders, schools that are just for kids with autism or the severe and profound that, you know, that they have limited intellectual abilities. There's a ton of service, and they are legally obligated to provide whatever services your child needs.
Yes, yes.
But you go in as a parent and they're like, oh, your kid did this. Oh, they cut school. Oh, they're swearing at a teacher. Oh, they stole stuff. And you're like, you're sitting there and you're sitting with these professionals. And a lot of parents don't have professional degrees. A lot do, you know, but it's very intimidating. And if you go to what they call an educational planning meeting, it's don't actually did the testing to see what your child's specific needs are. You're sitting at a table with anywhere from 3 to 8 specialists. You're very intimidated. So I always said, take a friend, take somebody else in with you, you know. And at first, I was blessed that I had a uncle-in-law that worked in education as a social worker. And he volunteered to go with me, and then he volunteered to pay for an advocate, a legal advocate.
Wow.
But the first time, I wasn't even sure. It was still new. You know, they tell you accepting that a child has a disability, and a lot of these things really are, people don't accept that that is a disability. And it's like accepting a death. You're in denial as a parent. No, not my kid.
Right.
And you go through the same stages. You know, you're going to deny it. You're going to get angry. You're going to bargain, you know, try to make deals. And you really do go through those, you know.
And it sounds like that uncle that you had helped you learn to navigate the system as much as parents need to learn how to navigate the system as you were getting into this.
Right.
You must have been really helped to understand these processes that parents need to understand to get help the children get the help they need.
Yes, and even though Illinois is ranked as one of the worst states to get any services or help for special needs, I got so many services because you know what? I followed through. Paperwork. Oh my goodness. If I found out an agency had some service, like for instance, my son in high school, and with him being home all day all summer was just like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Wow. Anyway, so I found out that there was a program that you could sign him up for at the local community college, high school students that were in special ed, and they would take them, they pick them up from a meeting point at like 8 in the morning. They didn't bring them back till like 4 in the afternoon. They would spend half the day giving them educational support and then half the day giving them job skill training.
Awesome.
And they fed them lunch and they gave them $100 a month. I was like, what? But local college, it was the entire college community, which is a big area. The high school that my son was at had 2,500 students. Now multiply that by how many high schools feed that.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of kids in special ed. But so I went over immediately and they said, here's a packet. You can bring it back. And I said, oh, no, I brought everything with me. I had my son's whole file, which is another key for parents. Don't be afraid to ask for your child's entire school file. They always ask you, why do you want that? You don't need that. You know what? It doesn't matter. I want it and you have to give it to me. They can charge you for printing it if they want to be petty, you know, 10 cents a sheet, whatever, but they have to give it to you. Any reports done on your child, if they did any testing, any of that, you're entitled to all of that and you need that to show, you know, what you're
so you're learning all these things in this first classroom in Chicago. It seems like that was the beginning for you to understand all these processes, because I think a lot of people get overwhelmed because they have a child has disabilities. I know my son, I have two children, two boys, Joshua and Jeffrey. Jeffrey has a son with a learning disabilities, and not to throw anybody under the bus here and speak out of turn, but it's been a challenge because he goes to one school, he has issues. Now they have to bring them to another school. I mean, for parents, I can imagine they need somebody like you to help them navigate.
So I successfully got my kids into the two kids that needed it, into this school. I also successfully got them disability from Social Security, which is like, wow. And if your child has a disability, they are entitled as a child. It's based solely on them. It has nothing to do with your income as a parent.
Yeah, one of my sons, we needed to also disable, and so he would have that support because my wife and I were concerned he would end up homeless. And we just believe that with the diagnoses and things, that were shown to us that that was the best action to take to protect our son's future. These are challenges that you were seeing.
They are. And like some, I'm not sure if every state has it. I think they do. But in Illinois, there was something called the Individual Care Grant they said you could apply for. If you weren't having luck getting your child into one of these special schools, because at that point, we're talking, you know, my son is now 37 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so it's the troubles with him started in elementary, and it took me several years to accept and realize where we were, you know, and I thought it was the school and let's change and all that. But anyway, and I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
No, you're talking about your son who you disabled with Social Security, and then you were able to kind of help him. At least now he's grown, and you must have had some processes you went through to get him the help he needed.
Right. Anyway, so yeah, to get that help, then you go with Social Security. So this individual care grant, that's where we were.
Oh, right. Yes.
Right. And that will give you the money that would pay for whatever services. If your child is so out of control that they can't live in the house, if they've been chasing their siblings with steak knives.
Yes.
If they, you know, if they're threatening to jump out of moving cars.
Yeah.
If they're attacking people and they're getting big.
Even saying and threatening things and saying things has been an issue for my grandson.
And sadly, a lot of people struggle with these horrible secrets. You know, mental health is so taboo. Nobody wants to talk about
it. It's becoming at least
a
little more out in the open now with a lot of athletes and other people speaking about mental health issues.
Right.
So hopefully it's at least out of the closet. Maybe it's not as much as it needs to be.
A little bit. Yeah. And anyway, so this care grant, you apply for this, and then you can use it for whatever you need. Do you need to send them to a school where they live? Do you need to send them to a day school? Do you need to get respite care to help in the home? You know, whatever it is you need it for, you can use it for. Well, so you have to fill out this long application, and in there you have to...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.
My song is love unknown. My Savior's love to me. Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from heaven's throne, salvation to bestow, but friend indeed, who at my need his life did spare.